So a number of things we need to do before we let you hear from yet another victim of this home. And I use that word deliberately, because if you are the son or the daughter of someone who has been treated in this shockingly despicable way, both you and your elderly relative is a victim. Now, first of all, the RQIA, who you heard getting criticised quite significantly there. I just want to let you know what has happened, because this report was released yesterday, and they weren't on Good Morning Ulster, they weren't on The Nolan Show, and we rang them at about 11:30 yesterday, round about that time, all right? Do you know what they told us? They weren't doing any media interviews all week. So this statutory body that is accountable to the public actually thought that they weren't going to have to speak to any of you for the whole week. So what we then did, and they said to us, because we've just received the report. And here's what we said to them. We said to them, you had the draft findings of this report 2 months ago. Are you seriously not going to speak to the public? They then, an hour later, went on to talkback with William. They're now refusing to speak to you through this programme this morning. And they're in a war of words, issuing these statements with the Older Persons Commissioner. The Older Persons Commissioner, Eddie Lynch, is on the programme, was on the programme yesterday, is on the programme today, and we will hear from him shortly. So what I would say to the executive team of the RQIA, first of all, that's Olive McLeod, the chief executive. And her team includes Dr. Lourdes Gagan, the medical director and quality improvement lead, and Theresa Nixon, the director of assurance. Look, I get it that you're not, you mightn't even have been in the job when this happened. And I'm not suggesting you were. But what I'm saying to you is you're the lead executive team for a statutory body which is supposed to give confidence to families throughout Northern Ireland. Why are the three of you not up every second of every day trying to get onto every single different media outlet to assure the public of what you're doing? Why are you not scrambling to be getting as much touch to the public as possible? Because I'll tell you what, to you, Olive, to you, Lourda, to you, Theresa, the public's scrambling to ask questions. And I notice in the in the statement, you know, your lengthy statement from the RQIA, I noticed that one of the things you say is, in evaluating our actions in respect of Dunmurry Manor, we found that RQIA did not receive a significant number of contacts from families or carers or residents in this home. Quote, we have therefore reflected on our public profile and will be focusing on improving this in the coming year. So they're saying their public profile isn't good enough and they want to improve it. And then when we're in the middle of this shocking mess, you're not coming on to programmes like this to tell us your point of view or to reassure the public. We'll look at the further details within the RQIA in a second or two. Then to Runwood. Well, they continue to run many homes in Northern Ireland. They're also refusing to do media interviews. They've issued a lengthy statement as well, in which they say their board of directors acknowledge and take full responsibility for these failures, but they don't think they should be accountable to you, the public, by letting you get access to them through programmes like this. And they continue to take your money. They then say in their statement that the managing director, and you heard him referred to earlier, Logan Lugaswaran, has in fact, they say, resigned his position from Runwood Homes Group UK as of yesterday. And then we hear from Mr. Lugaswaran himself, who contacts the BBC to say, well, actually, he resigned not as a result of the report into Dunmurry, but he resigned for personal reasons. So you have Runwood at least leaving it open to interpretation in their statement that the managing director might have resigned because of what happened. But no, the managing director says that's not what happened. I resigned for personal reasons. And we're trying to give him an opportunity to come onto the programme. We're trying to contact him this morning. Before we speak to the Older Persons Commissioner, Eddie Lynch, I want you to hear from another relative now this morning and what happened to her mother. This is distressing stuff. This is Karen's story.
Went into Dunmurry Manor on the 18th of February, 16. She could walk and she could talk, and she basically walked the floors from morning till night. Bit like other people, she had a few falls there that I don't really know if they were told me the right idea of the falls or not. But my main problems would be was about 4 or 5 weeks after she was there, she took pneumonia. She spent 2 weeks in hospital, and it was discovered there. Oh, and by the way, she didn't go into the home with us. They discovered there that she had a pressure sore. So she was sent back to Dunmurry Manor again, and I was assured by the manager and a few of the nurses that they would get her up and moving and that she wouldn't be in bed for the rest of her time there. That never happened. She spent all her time in bed. I constantly complained for them to get her out of bed. They finally did that in April time. And when they put her in a wheelchair for her lunch, her neck muscles had wasted away, so she couldn't really hold her neck up anymore. So it was just, all right, that's her. She's bedridden from here on in.
These bed sores that she got, they were bad, and they became infected.
Yeah, they were down to the bone, by the beginning of October. They were down to the bone.
What do you mean they were down to the bone?
You could basically see bone. They were then infected with E. coli. And the smell of them, they didn't change the dressings on a regular basis. So the smell from it, they were supposed to turn her regularly to avoid the likes of pressure sores happening. That very rarely happened. She would have went hours without being turned. She was supposed to be kept at a 30-degree tilt at all times. There was a lot of times she would have been lying on her back rather than being in that tilt.
The pressure sore that you're talking about...
It was sores, it was two.
They were so bad that they were ungradable.
Yeah. I had a car review in October with my car manager and a nurse who was reasonably new. She'd only been there about 3 weeks. And she told me, as far as she was concerned, they were the worst bed sores she'd ever seen in her life. Now, at that meeting, that same nurse also told me that she had handed in her resignation, even though she'd only been there a matter of weeks. And she was handing in her resignation simply because she thought her registration would be in jeopardy if she stayed there.
Was your mum able to speak to you about her care?
No. As I say, when she did go in on the 18th of February, she could talk. But after the pneumonia, she sort of lost the be able to talk.
By the time of her death, Karen, what weight was she?
4 stone.
I'm sorry?
4 stone. Hello?
No, I'm just thinking, Karen, you know, I think it is well known how much I love my mum. And no doubt you loved your mum just as much as I love mine. And if I think that there's even a possibility that my mother will ever be in an institution in Northern Ireland where someone will disrespect her to the point where they allow her to be in pain. Like I'm actually trying to control myself here.
Yeah.
And this hasn't happened to my mother.
Yeah. I mean, there was one incident. They weren't giving her regular pain medication either. And there was an incident when I arrived at lunchtime, and it was an agency nurse I spoke to that day. She said to me they'd changed her dressing that morning, and because she was shaking that uncontrollably, they then gave her pain medication. Now, that pain medication should have been given at least 20 minutes prior to the dressing being changed.
How would you sum up what happened to your mum in there?
Oh, disgusted. Absolutely and utterly disgusted. I am heartbroken. And I say this will live with me to the day I die. I mean, my mum passed away in November 16. And I can't grieve properly for her because there's so much anger. And until somebody pays for this, always be that anger.
Oh, Karen, nobody's lost their job.
Yeah, well, that's the problem.
In fact, Runwood Homes, the person who resigned is now publicly saying they resigned not because of anything that happened in Northern Ireland, but for personal reasons.
Yeah,
Runwood Homes continue to get millions of pounds from people in this country. So, you know, I am saying it. I am saying it this morning. And yes, there are inspections, and no, the inspections have not uncovered anything wrong with the other homes they run. But I'm saying this out loud. This company, which is not speaking on the radio or television, they're not putting human beings up, they're staying with a statement, they are allowed to run other homes in Northern Ireland.
The RTIA is not fit for the purpose, and it needs to be investigated by somebody better than the CPEA.
You know, we have checks and balances in Northern Ireland. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I complained. The RTIA, I was one of the families that did complain. And, I mean, they just passed the buck on to John Rafferty, who was one of the managers at the time, regional managers, just saying they're out an apology. Now, that man phoned me.
Now, hold on. You passed the concern on to the RQIA.
Yeah.
What did they do about it?
They sent me out a letter saying that they note my concerns and they'll pass it on to John Rafferty.
What do you mean they note your concerns?
Yeah.
Did they go out and speak to you?
No.
Sorry, in that letter, what did you explain happened to your mother?
Everything that I've just told you and more. I mean, there was a lot of other stuff as well.
So you told the RQIA that your mother had bed sores down to the bone?
Yeah.
And they did not come anywhere near you? They did not gather evidence from you?
No, nothing.
What is going on in that organisation?
Yeah, it's not fit for purpose. And I say,
are you sure they didn't? I'm actually at the point of not believing you.
No, I can assure you that's what happened.
You wrote to them, you told them that your mother had suffered seriously inside a home in Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
You send a letter to the investigatory body who are currently telling us, publicly now telling us, that they need a closer relationship with the public.
Yeah.
And what they do when the public does contact them is they don't go out and see you.
No.
You get a letter back.
Yep.
So they don't want to sit down with you and say, look, you're a key opportunity for us to learn what happened here.
No, they just say pass the buck going to John Rafferty.
Do you trust them?
No, not at all.
What year did you write to the RQIA?
Possibly the end of 2016, start of 2017.
I'm so sorry this happened to your mum.
Yeah, thank you.
I really am. I'm so sorry that a statutory agency didn't go out and see you. You must be desperately upset.
I am. Very, very much so. And as I say, I just feel that the RTIA needs a very thorough investigation and maybe close down or an overhaul.
Karen, thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's just two of the families who you've heard from this morning. There is a lot of focus on the RQIA. Can I just remind you, it's Runwood Homes who ran the home. It's Runwood Homes that took profit, attempted to generate profit while leaving people with bed sores down to the bone. It's Runwood Homes also who are not speaking while continuing to tell you that they will protect your elderly relatives in Northern Ireland. And look, you know, I know that there are other homes in Northern Ireland. I know there will be other mums and dads who are in those homes and you may be concerned about them. There are checks and balances in place. There are inspections going on. There is no evidence of any of this similar type of activity in the other homes. But I think it's fair enough for us all as a community in Northern Ireland to say, can we trust the inspections? It's certainly a question, isn't it? We've gone to the RQIA within the last few minutes again, and we have said to them, please, would they come on? So they've got their executive team. We told you who they were earlier. Olive McLeod is the chief executive. Dr. Lourdes Gagan is the Medical Director and Quality Improvement Lead. Theresa Nixon is the Director of Assurance. And we are saying to that executive team this morning, and just to clarify, they went on talkback yesterday, but this story is unfolding. Is there any chance they could make themselves available to the public? Maybe all three of them should be all over the airwaves everywhere, and newspapers and television.